Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you are, wherever you're traveling, whatever you happen to be doing. Know that we're so grateful that you are tuning in to this worship podcast. Today, we've got a couple of special treats. First, Kelly Leather Antonsen is our preacher. She is also our director of youth ministries and one of our Raymond preaching fellows. And she's got a wonderful message that really connects us, I think, to our church community and the ways that love of God and neighbor is expressed through our church as she reflects on Jesus's teaching on the greatest commandment. And we have for our anthem, our own Eric Burns performing a original piece on the fruits of the Spirit in Ephesians. So prepare your heart and minds for worship now as you listen to our morning's anthem.
I don't want to live out of control, be jealous, envious, try to fill that hole. May your Spirit come comfort me. Show me love, show me joy in who I can be. For this cage I am in, the works of the flesh. For this cage I am in, Spirit send me. I don't want to live out of control, be jealous, envious, try to fill that hole. May your Spirit come comfort me. Show me love, show me joy in who I can be. Show me love, show me joy in who I can be.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. Will you listen for the word of God? When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This encounter that we meet in Scripture today takes place in Jerusalem during the final days of Jesus' ministry before his crucifixion. He has been teaching, and various religious groups have been trying to stump him with questions. The Pharisees were religious peoples known for their strict adherence to Jewish rule, law, and traditions. There were many, many Jewish laws to be followed, everything from how to dress to what to and what not to eat. So many laws naturally led to a debate about their importance. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were another religious group who had different beliefs, including a skepticism about the resurrection of the dead. In this passage, though, the Pharisees are the ones questioning Jesus. As someone who has been a dedicated and committed rule follower throughout my life, I can empathize with the Pharisees' decision to seek clarification from Jesus regarding the commandments. However, the way the Pharisee posed the question was far from inquisitive, akin to a less benevolent version of my younger self. This Pharisee exhibited a sly approach, seemingly attempting to test Jesus. Some scholars argue that his intention might have been to deliberately trip Jesus up in his words, coercing him to prioritize one Jewish law over another, thus diminishing his authority as a religious leader. He did not address Jesus as teacher with the love and devotion that many of us exhibit when referring to those from whom we learn. Instead, he was trying to make a mockery of him. As we can see earlier in Matthew and in the other Gospels, Jesus is continually being tried and tested by doubters, followers, and other religious leaders alike. I am always amazed how Jesus' rebuttal returns with a lesson or parable rooted in love. Jesus truly practices what he preaches. Jesus does not play into the gimmicks and games of the Pharisee. Instead, he simply answers the question. He instructs those listening to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. The rule follower, achiever, and list maker in me, and I am sure many of you too, would hear this and think, yes, okay, I can do that. I love God. That's an easy one. Check that box. And yes, I do love God. But then I am left wondering, do my daily actions always reflect my love of God? Sometimes they do. I like to believe that they might on most days, but I know they don't always. Lately, I've been pondering if I know anyone in my life who embodies the level of devotion to God that Jesus calls us to in the scripture. Who can serve as a genuine example of living out this profound reverence, an unwavering commitment to the Holy Redeemer, the Father, Yahweh, the gracious giver? Do I know anyone so dedicated to their faith that I witness them consistently placing God's desires before their own? Do I know anyone so dedicated to their faith that I witness them consistently placing God's desires before their own? Considering my Christian upbringing, numerous Christian friends, and current enrollment in seminary, one might assume I have a multitude of individuals to hold up as exemplars. But at first, I thought it was a bit challenging to identify someone who lives in such a way. While I do know many deeply committed people of faith, who do I know that takes it a step further? Who do I know who loves God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind? After thinking about this more, I began to think of many people actually here in our own congregation who live so devoutly. Church family, I must ask you, does anyone from this congregation stand out in your mind as a response to that question? The first name who came to mind for me was our beloved Perry. Those of you who are familiar with Perry, as I am, likely have a smile on their face right now because they share this sentiment. Perry Grogan, it is evident that you take this greatest commandment to heart. For those of you who don't know her, I invite you to find her at fellowship hour sometime and spend some time chatting with Perry, because within minutes you will feel inspired and feel the grace that moves within our dear sister. Indeed, Perry possesses a deep understanding of faith and scripture, much like some of the Pharisees and Sadducees. However, what sets Perry apart is the devotion to God, which goes beyond mere knowledge. She not only comprehends the scriptures, but also lives them out in her actions. It is not solely in how Perry articulates thoughts about God that has truly left me in awe and inspired by her commitment. It is in her daily living. It is in how you, dear Perry, treat your neighbors that I know you are a woman of faith. I know you love God and how you tend to those around you. Jesus' response to the Pharisee in this scripture is twofold, And this is also what makes Perry so distinguished in my mind. Jesus says to the Pharisee, "The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This can be challenging to us as people of faith. You might think, Kelly, I struggle to like many of my neighbors. Nevertheless, love them. We see this play out in our immediate lives, in national politics, and international affairs. Our world is filled with people who don't like others for one reason or another. You may also be thinking, honestly, there are days where I do not love myself. And I am sure too often that feeling is reflected in our conversations, interactions, and relationships with our neighbors. In those days, I feel I can look to members of our community as an example of the power and strength of the love which God pours on us, even if we don't know it ourselves. Perry, like Jesus, practices what she preaches. The writer of this gospel believes if we love God with all of ourselves, then we can more easily accept and experience the love which God has for us. When we know God's love for us, then we can share said love to others. There are no greater rules or laws than this. Loving God and loving our neighbors are the roots of the tree from which all else in our faith grows. So many people say to me, you know, Kelly, I love church on Sunday mornings or I love youth group on Sunday evenings because it's the reset I need to start my week on the right note. And while I too share that feeling, what I hear when people say such words to me is this. I leave church after experiencing the love of God through words, songs, scriptures, and sermons on Sunday in that pew or virtually. And then I am reminded of who I want to be, of who I am called to be. I yearn to be a loving friend. I desire to be an understanding son or daughter. I'd love to give back to my community and those whose needs are far greater than my own. I hope to be a more attentive partner. Dare I say, I pray to be a more patient parent. I want to go and I want to love my neighbors well. I've had the joy of being neighbors with Perry for roughly 8 years living on St. John Place. And for those roughly 3,000 days, I know that every single evening, whether or not I was the best version of myself that day, regardless of how successful I felt, I was loved by Perry in the same way that I know I've always been loved by God. That is because every evening Perry prays for each neighbor on her street by the number on their house. I'll say that again so you can process it. Every evening Perry prays for each neighbor on her street by the number on their house. Tell me someone who lives out loving God and their neighbor more authentically. She knows us all by name. And while I love feeling special, and Perry, you have a great way of doing that, I am certain that every single neighbor who encounters Perry is treated the same way. She expresses her love of God through both her words and her actions. Who else do you know? Who else do I know who takes this scripture to heart? I think of Pastor Richard, who was just here with Pivot a few weeks ago, through whose own personal journey of recovery and healing has inspired countless men to encounter Christ. I'm consistently in awe with the conviction and authenticity of Pastor Richard's passion for our Heavenly Creator. It is no wonder that in him, the men of Pivot find hope, a friend, and a confidant. I think of Lee Engen, who each week on Sunday sits up in that AV room to record our worship service. It's Lee's selflessness and her genuine love of her neighbors in other parts of this country and world who tune in to hear the word of God on Sunday morning, who Lee shows Christ-like love to. Without Lee's servant's heart and care of the church family beyond our walls, all of those who are watching right now might not have the opportunity to feel at peace by a virtual presence in our congregation. Then on top of giving her time all Sunday morning, Lee then goes to lead home front days after worship like she did last week, extending God's love even further. Speaking of those tuning in from afar, I think of you, Joellen Ford, our former church member who is watching from Texas. A few years back, we were in a real dilemma in the final week leading up to the mission trip, and we're in dire need of another set of hands. On an inkling from the Holy Spirit, I called Joellen and asked her if she would come. And she said, well, I just started a new job, and next week is only my second week, but I'll see what I can do. Hours later, I had an email confirmation of Joellen's flight from Dallas to Charleston in my inbox. Joellen moved mountains for us and was all in. How did she love God with all her heart, her whole soul, and her whole mind? She answered the call to love her neighbors And boy, did she show that in how she thoughtfully cared and tended to the needs of our youth and the homeowners we were partnering with all week. And there are many people who support our youth mission trips and YG in this way, but Joellen did this despite our church not being her primary church home anymore. She saw a need and she responded regardless. I think of our YG advisor, Kane Curtin, who a few weeks ago on Sunday, which happened to be his birthday, he showed up to work like he does week after week. Kane set up tables, engaged in conversations with our youth, asking them about their weekends and lives and college apps. He vacuumed the floor of Smith Hall from spilled snacks and went home to Stanford like he does each week. An hour after YG, a fellow advisor saw on Facebook it was Kane's birthday. We didn't know. He didn't look to be the center of attention. He was humble and allowed the focus of his day to be about others. You know what all these wonderful people and countless others in this world and in our lives have in common? They love their neighbors. In John chapter 4, we find another piece of scripture which complements this idea that when we do love our neighbors, when we do love others, we actually do love God. And those actions we take to show them that are an expression of our love of God. It reads, at verse 16, so we have known and believe the love that God has for us. And continues in verse 19 with, we love because he loved us first. Those who say, I love God and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. What Jesus emphasizes in this scripture is that we should focus less on being the greatest or determining what is the greatest. If we were as devoted to God and our neighbors as we were at achieving or being the best or knowing what the best is, we would all fully know what love is. Despite the desires we share to be steadfast rule followers, Jesus does not ask us to achieve perfection in adherence to the rules. That won't bring us closer to God. But you know what will? Love. At this point, Jesus has given lesson after lesson to his community. He is probably wondering how they have not figured out the answer to this question yet. The underlying message in every parable, sermon, and law is the same. Love. Love like God. Love like Jesus. And yes, love like Perry, like Pastor Richard, Lee, Joellen, and Kane. Love your neighbors. And you will become the person you often aspire to be when worship concludes around 11 a.m. on Sunday. I challenge you to step into this week with a commitment to live out your faith more fully. Instead of aiming solely to be a rule follower or a good Christian, quote unquote good Christian, strive to love God and be a good neighbor. Be a loving friend by picking up the phone and checking in on your friend who lives in Maine. They probably need you right now. Book that ticket or take that drive to visit your parents and lend an open ear to their words. Ask Mariana how you can get involved in one of our many service ministries, such as helping the unemployed find jobs or cooking a meal for Pacific House. Call Pastor Richard and inquire about how you can assist them in a pivot. For some of us, it might mean making the time for the person we love the most, someone we may sometimes take for granted. For parents or grandparents among us, this might mean that the next time the juice spills on the floor or the eyes roll, that we should challenge ourselves to respond with love instead of frustration. Let us go forth this week with a renewed commitment to loving God with all our heart, our soul, our minds. And the good news is that in doing so, we too will be loving our neighbors as well. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we know that you call us to do two things. Love you and show that love that we receive from you to others. So often, we get bogged down in the details of our days, of our schedules, of our work and our lives. And we focus too much on the things that don't matter instead of focusing on the people that do. Help us to be instruments of your love this week. Renew our sense of call to care for our fellow siblings in Christ. May we all go forth from our time together this morning from hearing these words and meditations of my heart, which simply could only be inspired by you, with a renewed sense of how we might take action to live out the love that we know from you in our lives. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.